Hail to thee, old ivy league. Poison ivy league.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. We're now very pleased to be joined by Mr. Tom Barton. Tom is our Ivy League correspondent, among other things that Tom Barton does. He's a man of many parts, perhaps a Renaissance man, an Ivy League man, and they say that they need no introduction. Thanks for being here, Tom.
Thank you for having me, man. It's going to be fun.
So the Ivy so far, what do we know? What do we think we know? Where are we headed? It's very, very confusing. They start so late that you almost forget about them. And then when they start, they come in like gangbusters. It's a really interesting thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, in a way, it's the beauty of the Ivy League. It's short, it's quick, it's boom, here you go, and then you got to kind of get out of the way. So you don't have any time to sort of get your feet wet, right? In the Ivy Leagues, it's game one, game two, we already know who you are. At least that's where it's been historically. And historically, there is a very big separation. There's usually three or four good teams, three or four bad teams. The end. And I don't think this year is any different. We have watched Harvard come out of the gates really, really strong. We've watched teams come out of the gates and just falter. And then you have a team like Brown wins their first game 46-0 and then gets blasted by Harvard 52-7. How do you look at that and kind of determine that team, even though they're in that middle grouping? This is where the Ivy Leagues gets really quick, really fast. You better make your assumptions right away, and they're going to prove them or disprove them in a heartbeat.
For the audience members who don't know, the passion from Tom Barton for the Ivy League came from where?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've always been, obviously, a sports fan. I've been in sports radio since I'm 19 years old, and I went back to Harvard later on in life. I just wanted to always do that. And I had too many things with career and my family problems, which I had, extensively have talked about. I didn't get a chance, and I had an opportunity to go back to Harvard. What are you going to do? You're going to go back. And I lived in New York, and I drove 3.5 hours, 3 days a week to go back up to school. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. What I loved was the purity of the game. There was no instant replay. There was, a quick, like you said, quick schedule. It felt almost like a really glorified high school situation, but the passion that people had and the drive, they didn't care about the rest of it. When Harvard played Yale, Alabama doesn't exist. It doesn't matter about, the BCS standings. It doesn't matter. This is what matters. And you go, wow. Living in a world where I don't have to worry about polling and ranking and who ESPN likes and who the SEC is. No. Who wins, who wins, who wins, and that's it. Who wins out? If there's three teams that win out, we all split the title. There was a purity about that that I really did enjoy.
Well, I think more highly of Yale so far than you do, Tom.
Yeah, you do.
Pitzenberger is a dude who runs the ball for the Yale Bulldogs. I like the way that they're playing football right now. We're going to find out a lot about Yale this week as they're on the road at ranked Lehigh.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the problem is that right now where Yale, and we've had this conversation, I don't buy into Yale right now. They had a quarterback question. There was a lot of defensive issues that I just wasn't sure about. Now, look, you could say that they've gone out there and proved it against who? Holy Cross is garbage. I'm sorry. They are. They're garbage, right? And then Cornell, who goes up into Albany and loses 13-10, they couldn't generate an offense. So to me, Yale has played nobody. You could say they were impressive against nobody, but they were still played nobody. Now, Lehigh is a real team, and it's a real road game. And we're going to see how this team reacts, but a team that comes in with quarterback questions are just surrounding the team and then plays two nobodies. I'm not ready to elevate. Not yet. We'll talk next week.
Then who are you ready to elevate on? You talked about there being four teams and there's just a wide gap. I don't even think there's four this year, but no. For those who aren't as tapped into the Ivy, who are you bullish on and who are you opposing Kevin's Yale take with?
Look, the best player in the Ivy Leagues is Jaden Craig, the quarterback, right? I mean, he just flat out is. He's one of the best players in the FCS. He's, up for numerous FCS awards, preseason watch list, and things of that nature. So you give me the best player in the Ivy Leagues. Harvard comes out as 38-point favorites in game one, and they cover the spread, right? I mean, yes, they played nobody. We're going to say that, but they covered the spread. And then they take on a Brown team that won 46-0 the day before or the week before, and Harvard blasts them as well. And it's not just offense, it's the defense also. It's the defense not allowing more than one touchdown a game. Harvard's elite. Dartmouth has the opportunity to be elite, and I think that they have an elite team. even though maybe it hasn't gelled yet. I'm afraid of Dartmouth if I am anybody else in this conference. You're looking at Dartmouth as one of those teams. Princeton had a bad run of it last year. Princeton was a bottom of the barrel team, and I know that people still want to elevate them, but I'm not elevating them. I still think Columbia this week against Princeton could be that team. I think you have right now you have two strong top teams. Yale could be that next team, and the winner of that Princeton Columbia team is in that top four. Brown, Penn, Cornell, these teams are just on the lower half. Right now it's two. Maybe Yale joins that. And the winner of that Princeton Columbia game is really going to have to be considered to join.
The champion is going to receive an automatic bid to the FCS playoffs. For people who haven't followed the Ivy League because they knew they were never going to see them, what should they be looking for? Describe an Ivy League champion football team. Good skill position players, good quarterback, defense. What are they going to see in that first round of the FCS playoffs this year against competition they know what it is?
You know, it's a great question. I'm going to answer it. It's going to sound like an insult, but it's not meant to be. Think about 1980s, 1990s football. That's what you're going to get. There's a lot of H-back motion. There's a lot of H-back being used. There's tight end play. There is a mistake-free, unbothered offense. Defense doesn't always blitz, but they're going to try to get more pressure on you. It's a different game than what I think a lot of the country is used to when they're watching specifically the FBS, but even the upper echelon teams, you have the option still in play in some spots. You have a lot of quirky things that seem weird now, but back then it didn't. We got a fullback carry who's going to lead the team with 14 carries that day. That's not unusual in the Ivy Leagues because it's that kind of brand of football. To beat an Ivy League team, when the FCS does get to the playoffs, to beat an Ivy League team, you better not make mistakes. You better not go for that big giant play. Be okay that you're more athletic than that team and take what is given to you, as opposed to pushing it down the field and trying to make something happen. Guys like Kyle Juszczyk crushed it. Cameron Brate crushed it. They weren't strictly tight ends or fullbacks. They were H-backs. To come out of this and think that your fullback can't lead the team in receptions that day, you have another thing coming. So they're a well-disciplined, well-educated, and smart team that isn't going to make mistakes. That's going to be your Ivy League champion.
What's funny to me, you're using the phrase H-back so poetically. I, as a former quarterback, the generational gap, what you're referring to H-back and what I know as H-back is just on two different planets. And I know it gets Kevin going because an H-back is a real thing. It's a grown-ass man. That's how you translate what an H-back was. And now it's typically your kid who weighs 165 pounds soaking wet, is going to get his touches and all this and all that. It's just funny to me how you use it because I know who you're talking about, right? But today's game, you don't see him, but you do see him in the Ivy. Tom, what made the Council of Presidents pull the trigger in December of 2024? What was it that you think was the final straw that said, okay, fine, here we come, we're dancing?
You know, it's another great question. I'm not sure. I wrestled with this myself because it's been presented in front of them before. You can't say it's the money
Yeah.
thing because let's be honest, they have more money than you guys all, combined. And I'm not talking about FCS, you guys. I'm talking about FCS. I had somebody tell me one time, basically like, we use Alabama's NIL as like our placemats. I mean, literally, that's what it is. So it's not the money thing, but I do think it's the exposure. I think the Ivy Leagues in political culture have taken a knock recently. I think the Ivy Leagues in the world view have taken a knock recently. And a lot of what they do is, hey, you know what? We're Harvard. We're Yale. We're Princeton. You come to us because that's who we are. Well, you start to lose that a little bit, especially on the athletic field. No, let's go show them. Let's go compete with them. I'm sure money absolutely spelled the day at the end of the day. But when the NIL deals came out and you start to see the college landscape change, I think they understood. Look, we are behind the times. Let's get with the times and at least give exposure to our teams. And we don't need the exposure per se, but we'd like it because they're all egomaniacs and they want the exposure.
Well, I used to say that I thought that the Ivy League was the Globo Gym of NCAA football. You know, they're better than you and they know it, right? And so I thought there was maybe some elitism there. You know, they didn't want to go to Fargo, North Dakota and play against the great unwashed and get beat by five touchdowns, right? But I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. And the first round of the FCS playoffs is something that really is interesting, not by the outcomes, because we probably know what those are going to be, but I'm going to be more locked in this year to the first round games than I am at any time in the last 25 years, dude.
Yeah, look, we talked about this off the air where it is, do I think that a Harvard this year is going to go to, Montana or North Dakota and put up a fight? No, I don't think so. But I don't think they care. I don't think they care. They want to say, hey, well, look, we're doing it differently than you guys. Look at what we can do. We're in a different league. But I think they will start to care. I think in time, you're going to see the Ivy Leagues completely change. And people I've spoken to in the inner circles, I think we all understand where this is going. And when they do finally say, okay, here you go, we're now opening up the purse strings, I think everybody in the FCS is done. It is finished. And this is not being an egomaniac. It's not being, an Ivy League elitist in any way, shape, or form. I don't think anybody understands the money they can throw down if they started to do NIL. Remember, these guys don't give scholarships. So do I think that the elite in the FCS is better than the elite in the Ivy Leagues today? Absolutely. But when will it take their ego to get beaten down 55-7 in snowy, Fargo in December or January? When will it take that? And how many years will it take that for them to go, you know what? We're going all out. It almost reminds me, oh my goodness, people are going to be like, this guy and his Ivy League stuff almost reminds me of the Dream Team, right? When you're talking about basketball around the world. Oh, look, we're as good as the Americans. But yeah, but we're not sending our best. Eventually, it got to a point where like, that's it. We're sending Jordan Malone, Bird Magic. Here we go. And I think eventually Ivy Leagues are going to go, no, watch what we now send. And it's just a matter of between now and then, can they stay competitive? Can they put up a good fight? Can they be in the top 25 conversation? Can they be relevant enough to get the attention on them without having to say, you know what, we're going after the number one championship?
I coach football at the high school level down here in the hotbed of high school football, South Florida, and the names do come up. Like, I think the conversation has at least started. There are parents that I meet whose dad's belt is so tight and the collar's buttoned up all the way, and he's an Ivy League grad, and his kid is growing up the right way and a really disciplined kid, and I'm like, this kid is a ball player. Like, this kid can go play at South Carolina tomorrow, but he's gonna make that decision. I've seen a few kids trickle in the line, so I not only like what you said there as far as the tables will turn. I love it. Now I'll propose this to you, and it's tough on the spot, but let's just say Harvard is the example here. So they're not with the elites. Are they gonna contend in the postseason early? No, we don't think so. But what is the kind of team who's an example that will be giving Harvard 10 points that Harvard could snipe? Is it like a Furman team? Is it like a North Dakota team, not North Dakota State? Is it a Monmouth, an Incarnate Word? Like, what team that will be in the postseason do you think, okay, they're giving me 10. I think this is actually something that can happen. Like, who are those teams?
Yeah, you named quite a few of them. I think it's teams that don't have, look, Harvard has a good secondary. I'm not saying that they don't. It's teams that are not going to be have the ability to score 62, 65, 75. It's not those explosive offenses over the course of the game are eventually going to grab Harvard. But you want to play a down and dirty game? You want to run? You want to play, fundamental football? Harvard will stay with you, and Craig will have enough to turn around and go, oh my goodness, we just beat North Dakota, right? I look at it, I do a lot of work with the Mount West. And there are times over the last 10 years where I've said, you know what? Harvard could beat two or three teams in the Mountain West. I mean, and I wasn't, just waxing poetic. I really believe that. It depends on the style of team that you're talking about. I mean, you're the elites of the elites. Forget that, right? UC Davis is a team this year that I think has taken a giant step back after what they did last year. Could I see Harvard giving UC Davis, Harvard 17 and a half point underdog, give me the points all day and they lose by seven? Yeah, I could see something like that happen. These are the kind of games where it's going to frustrate them. Dartmouth, the same kind of team. Good defense, limit possessions, run that clock out, just eat the ball. Frustrating those teams. Those are the kind of teams. So I would say, look, at the end of the year, is Harvard going to be a top five ranked team? Absolutely not. Should they be a top 10 ranked team? Probably not. I could see them hovering in that 12 to 15 range and being able to compete with those teams in that 12 to 15 range.
Tom, where can people find you on socials and on the web?
Guys, go check me out. It's TomBartonSports.com. Tom Barton Sports over on the X. And I'm saying X. I'm not saying Twitter anymore. That took forever, right? Go check me out on the on X. You guys hit me up at TomBartonSports@gmail.com if you want to have a conversation with me. Anywhere I have, podcasts, Believe in Betting. I have an Ivy League podcast, Believe in the Ivy League. That's BLEAV. I'm on Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas, so I'm all over the place. Type in Tom Barton Sports, you'll find me.
Thanks for making the time, Tom. We really appreciate it. And also, plug that column you're writing for us at FCSNationRadio.com every week.
Oh, it's fantastic. Look, what I'm doing is I'm going to break down last week's games briefly and then look ahead. And, I think this week was a pretty good indication where I could give you guys. I absolutely love points in the Lehigh game, 74 points scored, right? By the way, if you're a sports bettor, I don't know if you are, the spread on that was 48, 48 and a half. Yeah, that blew it out of the water. You look at, what Yale did this week. We talked about the Harvard game. That was a tiny spread. Look, I'm going to break the games down. Doesn't matter, spread or not even sports betting. But if you are into that, I'll break the game down, kind of give you my lean where it is, what the teams need to go on and take on these non and real in conference games as well. And then look ahead every single time. It's looking ahead to the weekend with an eye of what just happened.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.